Well, hello to everyone. It's Thursday, August 18th, 2022. During the teaching on June 11th that was entitled The Practicality of God's Wisdom, we read James 1:5 from the New Living Translation. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. Now, I had selected the New Living Translation for that verse because I love the bold imagery of our God being generous in all caps. You know, thinking of God's generosity, it really spurred my desire to teach about it in more detail once we had completed the series on the power of the tongue. But then not long after that mention, I received a note from a beloved one, and she shared how she had enjoyed the New Living Translation referring to God as generous. She included 8 or so verses that flowed so well with the nature of God's generosity. So boy, that really got me going, and here we are. So even though it was the phrase, our generous God, that initially got my attention, as I worked it, the spiritual qualities of God's generosity, I found, will be better understood working it from the King James Version, which reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now, in the Greek, the word that is translated liberality occurs only one time in this particular form. It's G574 in the Strong's Haplos. It's an adverb which the King James Version translates correctly into English as an adverb to modify the verb to give. The NLT placed the word haplos before the word God, and it made it appear to be an adjective describing God. So, you see, here is a good example of how the rules of grammar guard precious truths that help us more understand the heart of our Father. The enemy has so degraded the English language, and through shaming, he has deceived most of society that, grammar, it's stuffy, it's so not cool, to say the least. Word usages today, though, they are so vague. If you listen to people talk, they talk about something and you have no quantitative or qualitative information about the word. They're just vague. You hardly end up with a distinct definition for anything. But it is not to be that way with God's words to us. Now, most of us know an adjective modifies a noun. But what does an adverb do? Well, it's a modifier also, but an adverb modifies a verb. Modifiers are words that adjust, they fine-tune, they tweak the meanings of words they are modifying. And they give us clarification. They give us more exactness. They kind of narrow things down to the chewy center. And it's all to make the word they are modifying more precisely understood. Now, God isn't the word God. It's not a verb. It's a noun. And so to say generous or liberal God, you see that it loses it. But it says God giveth liberally. So that liberally is now going to give us information about the verb give, to give. So in verse 5 again, that giveth is the verb. And liberally is the adverb. Therefore, liberally modifies or adjusts it's kind of like adjusting your camera lens to get it real, get the meaning real crisp and clear. It adjusts the meaning of the verb that giveth. Now, the word for that giveth, it simply means to grant, to supply, or to furnish the one asking. Now, God granting the one asking, hey, that sounds good enough for me, right? I mean, that's not a bad deal right there. But we are about to become additionally enriched about God's giving because the adverb liberally is going to do the work that God sent that adverb to do. Now, in the Greek, the word for liberally in verse 5, it means openly, simply, frankly, sincerely, bountifully, generously. Most adverbs, you notice something right here. They end with an L-Y. Many of them do. And also, this openness, this frankness, this generosity, it's led solely, S-O-L-E-L-Y. It's led totally or alone by God's desire to bless. Writers concur that this one adverb embodies the whole magnanimous and honorable type of character in which singleness of mind is the central feature. Now, the adjective form of this word can also be studied looking at Strong's 573, and it's the word haplos, or haplus. It is found two times in the Gospels, and it just means simple or single, in the sense that there's nothing complicated or confusing. And one of those is in Matthew 6:22. The other one is in Luke, but it's the very same record. It says in the King James, "The light of the body is the eye. If, therefore, thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." So single, in the adjective form, singleness and simplicity are modifying the noun I. So, to define the light that is in the body. And it's another reason why we should guard our hearts. Boy, reasons just pop up left and right in this Bible. Keep them simple and not complicated or confusing. And when we do, our whole bodies shall be full of light. And Matthew 6:24 tells us that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And of course, mammon meaning we cannot yield ourselves obedient to God's commandments while we are in bondage to the things of this world. It's not going to happen. You're going to serve one or the other. Lastly, the noun form of this word can be studied looking at Strong's 572. And it's the word haplotes. It's used eight times. And we're going to read some of its occurrences, and we'll see how the context of all these verses will add to our compilation of insight concerning the liberality of God's giving. So we'll start in Romans 12:8, King James. It's talking about the believers carrying out their long suits that they have in their lives. And it says, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." There's our word. "He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So It says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Give with simplicity. Now, words like liberality, generosity, bountifully, they might cause us to think of quantity, like, you know, give really big. But with defining words like simplicity, singleness, openness, you know, you can see that these words pertain to the qualities or virtues of character, not so much a dollar value or a quota or an amount, but the quality of the virtue of character in giving. Reading on in chapter 12, verse 9, we'll get a little more information to build upon. Because certainly, it is loving to give. And when we give with divine love, Romans 12, 9, King James, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And dissimulation means hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is nothing more than play acting. You know, the love in our giving, in our exhortations, in our leadership, in our showing of mercy, all those, they should be without any kind of play acting. We're not playing out a role. No, we're living our lives. In verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor, in this verse, signifies that we recognize and we esteem the preciousness of others. Because, just like with us, they have been bought with a price also. So we respect their value. They count to God. They count. Clearly, we are reading about behavioral characteristics that we build into our hearts through the study and application of the Word. And it's about the qualities of the heart. You know, when you think about it, consider all the money that flies around the world in the name of charitable giving. In many of the situations, charitable donations are made for the benefits that come back to the giver. You know, I think of large corporations, and sure, they, and I'm not saying they aren't sincere. I'm not making accusations of that to anybody. But, you know, maybe they get their name on a library or a building, or maybe they receive a tax write-off. Now, those things could happen. There's nothing wrong. The building has to have a name, and it is according to our laws that there are write-offs for tax-deductible giving. But those aren't criterion that move our hearts. They don't move the needle at all. There is only one reason that we would give, and that's to be motivated with God's love and give according to the nature of God's giving. So let's continue by reading 2 Corinthians 1:12, and we're going to read this from the New Living Translation, where our word G572 is translated as holiness. We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially toward you. Our letters have been straightforward, and there is nothing written between the lines and nothing you can't understand. Paul says, I hope someday you will fully understand us. Even if you don't understand us now, then on the day when the Lord Jesus returns, you will be proud of us in the same way we are proud of you. Isn't that a beautiful passage? I like the way that it is just loaded with heart. And here again is the conduct, the simplicity and openness. These overseers were free from play acting. They were not self-seeking. There were no selfish intentions at all. But the Apostle Paul, along with his fellow ministers, they were led by the sole purpose of blessing others according to the will and purpose of God. They were as dear children. They imitated God. They imitated their Father. No confusion, no complicated theologies, no play acting. They were motivated by their single-hearted faith. Their eye was single. Their single-hearted faith in Christ, as opposed to the false wisdom in matters pertaining to the manner of life in Christ. Moving on to the next occurrence of this G572, starting with verse 1 in 2 Corinthians 8, we'll read this one from the NIV, where our word is translated generosity in verse 2. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, this severe trial, this didn't come from God. He doesn't try. Again, it means with a singleness, with simplicity, sincerity. There's a mental honesty, free from pretense and hypocrisy. They were not self-seeking. Definitely not in this case, because it says they were under very severe trial. But because they overflowed spiritually with joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So they weren't self-seeking, and the openness of their hearts was known through their genuine godly qualities of heart, declared through the circumstances of their giving. Verse 3 goes on, Paul says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." We've all done that at least a time or two, right? Where we have been so moved to help another person that we privately, you know, sitting around our supper tables or sitting on our sofas, we opt to eat tuna fish if we have to all week, or whatever, in order to be able to give to this particular need that has come up. Verse 5, "And they exceeded our expectations." They gave, and here's how they exceeded. They gave themselves first. First of all, to the Lord. First of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then, by the will of God, also to us. You see the single-hearted faith in Christ. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. The Lord Jesus was indeed the Lord of their life. He was their head. He was their covering. You know, he was in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. There is a mental honesty based on their faith to which they were true. The false wisdom of the world pertaining to giving was not going to deceive them, because those deceptive things, they almost become an inventory of excuses for not giving. And there are so many. We might go on to mention a few, but I'm sure we all could come up with a page. Now, the next two occurrences of this G572 are in 2 Corinthians 9, and we'll be reading from the New King James Version. The immediate context is the giving of the believer. Let's look at verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, the arresting words in verse 6 is pretty obvious. Sparingly is used twice, bountifully is used twice, and they are set in opposition. Again, we might think of quantity. So let's look at these two words before we go further. Sparingly, L-Y, bountifully, L-Y, are adverbs that modify the verb to sow. In verse 6, sowing is referring to ministering to the necessity of the saints. That's the further context of this. Preaching, teaching, as well as someone who is in need of physical necessities. Sparingly means stingy, or it can mean to abstain. Bountifully, on the other hand, refers to the giving of a concrete blessing, with the context being the ministering to the saints, all the saints. Every believer is to be esteemed with honor, where we prefer them above ourselves. So, it is not about the amount in this, in looking at these attributes of God's giving. It's not about the amount. It's about abstaining or giving blessings. And the giving, we have already covered the virtues of God's giving heart. The stingy or the abstaining one will reap as they sow. In our inventory of deception, we might say, I'm not under the law to give. That was an Old Testament law. Or we might say, well, you know, I don't have to. God loves me. He's going to bless me no matter if I give or not. Or even the outright lie. I can't afford to give right now. Too many financial obligations. I mean, there's just three very simple, obvious things that we hear time and again when we hear others talk about giving, and specifically of their finances or even of their time. In Galatians 5:18, the New King James Version, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. How about that? In Romans 8:2, New King James, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It could be that for some, their giving, their tithe, is a law that they still reverence from the Old Testament. But you know, we are free from the law, and we live and we are led by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So it is our abstinence that cuts us off from bountifulness. We begin to eke by in life when we should have for ourselves with plenty left to give. That's God's vision. That's God's will. You know, then we start to get behind in our supply. We get a little frantic. We can't figure out how we got in this awful place of this increasing lack in our lives. And then the pressures of the world really begin to crash down upon us. It is a slippery slope. Now, the remote context of this chapter, we're going to go back to verse 1. I mentioned it briefly, but now we're going to read it. 2 Corinthians 9:1, New King James. Now concerning the ministering to the saints it is superfluous for me to write to you. So, as we continue in verse 7, remember, our immediate context is the giver. But the full context, the more remote context of this chapter, is how he or she ministers to the saints. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's each one of us. It's not the majority vote. It is our giving heart, individually, privately, before God. Each one of us gives as each one of us purposes. Purposes means to bring forth from one's stores, to choose or to prefer. It's ours to decide. It's ours to decide. Grudgingly indicates that we would give, but it would be with heaviness and sorrow, meaning we would mourn to part with what we have. You know, it's a word that's associated with those who mourn a loss, like a death. And necessity means compulsion. Something so subtle as hearing this teaching and feeling compelled to give. That would be compulsion. And all I have to say is, don't do it. You know, we can't buy in. It's a heart situation. You know, we would repent and pray that God deliver us from the bondage that causes us to abstain from the ministering of the saints. What's got a grip on us that we can't see this big picture? That we can't see how much God has provided for us, his sufficiency, that we would be able to give? You know, and I wish to add at this point, I just thought of this, but I would like to add that Larry nor I judge anyone's giving by the receivables of beloved of God. Because quite frankly, it's none of our business. Your giving is as you purpose. As you purpose. If your name is not on BGM's books for bountiful sowing, we don't assume that you are not giving somewhere. You might be giving to another ministry. And Larry's taught for years, give. Even if you don't give to beloved of God, give to a ministry where you wish to support the work they are doing. Then it goes on to say, God loves a cheerful giver. And this word cheerful, it means joyous. I know we've all heard that it means hilarious, and the word does look like hilarious, but it means joyous, prompt to do anything. It's prompt and willing. That's cheerfulness. When we have a cheerful heart, we're prompt and we're willing. Now look at verse 8. And God, this is New King James, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Which, if you remember, that's what God created us unto. We're his masterpiece, created unto good works. So in order to do those, he has given us all sufficiency. Well, he's given us all grace, all sufficiency in all things, that we can have an abundance for every good work. That's a strong statement. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, May he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all, and here's our word, liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You know, the most important enrichment that we could ever have is spiritual understanding. And don't we desire in our hearts to be enlightened concerning the true meaning of giving liberally or generously out of the singleness of our faith in Christ, and that our giving would be led solely by our desire to bless others? We are enriched in everything. The whispers of the worldly wisdom is, well, who's going to take care of me? I spent the whole week thinking about everybody else. Well, we don't have any worries about ourselves. We are safe. We can safely leave our care to God. He sees all. He forgets nothing now, and he forgets nothing through eternity. He's not forgetful. In verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, we'll come back to that, if not this week, next week. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your, here's our word again, liberal sharing with them and all. Verse 14, and by their prayers for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now that's where we're going to stop for today. There's a lot more to come on this subject, and next week we'll continue with part two of God Gives Liberally. God bless you all.